Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
So as I said, once again, we're back into this series on the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. Now there are several key words here that we might need to understand. What does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to be Catholic? What does it mean to be church? What does communion mean? And what does saints mean? I notice you've all got your saint badges on this morning. St. Colin, I'm not sure I've ever thought of you as St. Colin, but we will come to discover that is exactly what... Oh, I pick on you because I can. So let's start with the word holy. If you've been around this place for any more than a couple of weeks, you no doubt would have heard me say that holy simply means to be set apart. Set apart for God. We are holy when we choose to follow God and his ways, when we choose to follow the ways of Jesus and not the ways of the world. It means that we have chosen to be set apart. That's what holy means. To be different from others. And there's this odd word Catholic, and I kid you not, whenever I explain the word Catholic in a communion service, without fail, someone comes up to me and says, I've always wondered about that word. Because even my spell checker or my word processor at home wants to turn the word Catholic into a capital C, so it can mean Roman Catholic. But of course, that's not what it means when it comes to our creed. It's small c Catholic, which means everyone, all together, the whole world, all people together. Or comprehensive is another way of putting it. All who have followed Jesus in the past, alive and gone to be with Jesus, and all who will follow Jesus in the future, and all who follow Jesus now. The Catholic Church, everyone together. Everyone who worships Jesus in Bedhampton, who worships Jesus in Accra, in Ghana. And this morning we had a visitor from America at St. Thomas's. Even people from Texas are part of the Catholic Church. Here we move on now. So we've got Holy Catholic. We'll move on to the word church. Here's some views of people, what church means. Might need to turn this up a little bit.
Just in fellowship with other people in the same land as you.
Community is a big part of it. I like kind of what it stands for in the sense of the community and kind of what it brings.
Even though I'm not a Christian, but I go to church every week because I love to be with people there because everyone's so caring about each other.
When I step into church, I immediately I feel much better. I feel like a great weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
Well, I used to go to church, but I'm not into that. I don't know. I don't like it. It's not for me.
I don't like to go when there's a congregation, but I'll just go. If it's an open time, I'll go and I'll spend time by myself.
Yeah, I don't know. I've got mixed feelings about it, really.
When I go to church, I go for the message, man.
Just family, another part of family.
So it's good to have something new, fresh for the week, you know?
There you go. That is a film from the Alpha course, which we're running in January, when they talk about church. And every time someone says, when I go to church, I want to jump up and shout, no! You don't go to church. You are church. Because despite what some of those guys... And they were lovely ideas about what church is, but despite what some of those people said... Apart from the one chap who went, I go for the message, man. Apart from him, who I did like. Of course, we've got to understand that actually, although this is a wonderful church building, a wonderful church venue, although we use the word church for our church venues in English, you've heard me say again, actually, no, this is not church. You are church. That's what we hear in the Gospels. Jesus turns in Matthew's gospel, he says, I don't know, have I got that one there? Yes, there you go. I tell you, Peter, he's talking to Peter, I tell you, Peter, on this rock, which is a bit of a funny 5 minutes, because as you may know, Peter means rock. On this rock, I will build my church, and the gate of Hades will not overcome it. Jesus is saying, Peter, you are a solid guy, and I'm going to build my assembly of followers on you. My ecclesia, as it's called in Greek. So once and for all, St. Thomas is an awesome building that attracts people to come to know Jesus. St. Nick's is an amazing building that allows us to have things like fun club and bubble church and messy church to attract people to come to know Jesus. But they are not the church. They're small C church. We are big C church. I believe in the holy, set apart, Catholic, complete church, assembly of people who choose to follow Jesus. I'll get off my hobby horse now, shall I? Then we get to the communion of saints, of course. Communion. What is communion? Once again, we're into nuances between big C's and small C's. Communion is not, well, of course it is holy communion, our service that we have. But that is not what we're talking about here. Once again, we are talking here communion in terms of the small, the intimate, those who have rapport together, those who come together as a family to worship Jesus. So when we say communion in this context, we are talking about us again. You guys, once again, coming to be together as one family in front of Jesus. When we receive Holy Communion, we're coming together in communion around the service of Holy Communion, which Jesus did command us to do. So we do that in a small communion, which is why, actually, when the communion, when we argue and argue and split from one another, I believe that brings pain to the heart of God. The communion of saints. Who is a saint? You are a saint. Apart from Colin. Even Colin's a saint. Even I'm a saint after saying that about Colin. We are all saints. We are all saints. I did a little sermonette about St. Francis at St. Thomas at the beginning of the month and reminded everyone that actually I think when you talk to about someone like St. Francis, he would be appalled that we only thought he was a saint and that we weren't. Because all saints, the King James translation says this in Romans. It says, when Paul's greeting the Romans, he says, beloved of God, called to be saints. Our NIV tends to translate saints, holy people, instead, because it confuses us. But we are all saints. Hagios is the Greek word. And again, it crosses over with the word holy as well. Lots going on here. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. It's really two lines saying the same thing, isn't it? You've heard me talk about the communion, the saints coming together. We might actually, instead of saying, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints, we might want to say, I believe in all God's people throughout the universe set apart to worship Jesus in unity and love. That's the NIV, the Max International Version. Or the Max Creed, or whatever you want to call it. But that, I believe, is probably a reasonable summary of the words that we say every week and perhaps don't think too much about. But there's a lot in there, isn't there? There's a lot in those couple of lines. That's great then. So we're all done with that. Except, of course, we've got to get to my favourite question of sermons. So what? So what? What difference does it really make? We probably go away now, next time we say the creed, and we get to the word Catholic, hopefully we'll think, oh, that's not Roman Catholic. Max told us that. That is actually Catholic, as in all of us together. But what difference will that make tomorrow morning when we all wake up for a brand new week? Well, I think this is a serious bit. Because I think actually, throughout the world right now, It's increasingly important that we understand that we are one church. In a world that wants to divide and tear down, I mean, just look at the American election right now. And our election wasn't any better, was it? In a world that wants to divide and tear down, in a world that wants to say, you're part of that tribe, you're not part of my tribe, so I can't be seen to agree with you. In a world that says, actually, if you do disagree with someone, you can't like them. We need to be all the more one church. There needs to be another way. And I believe there is the Jesus way. The Jesus who loves his church. The Jesus way who calls his church to be united together. The Jesus who calls his church to be an example of what it is for God's kingdom to come. Jesus loves his church, and we heard that in that prayer of his, didn't we? We can see in so many ways how he loves us. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them. I've sent them into the world so that they may be truly sanctified. My prayer, it says here, my prayer is not for them alone. So it's not just for those 12 or 11 disciples. No, no. My prayer is for also for those who will come to know God, he says, doesn't he? That's us. That's you. Jesus is praying for his ecclesia, his assembly, his church. He's praying for you and he's praying for me. Father, just as you are in me, I am in you. May they also be in us. He wants us to be united with him. United with his Holy Spirit, as we spoke about last week, didn't we? United with him, united with the Father, united with the Holy Spirit. And united, actually, with those who are yet to know him. I in them, you in me, so they may be in complete unity. I mean, I could go on and on, I could read the whole thing again. But actually, what we see in our Acts reading is the early church trying to live out that prayer of Jesus. See, Jesus calls his Catholic Church to be united. And in the Acts, we see them trying to do that, trying to live it out. To those who accepted his message, they were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to his number. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to communion, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The church in Acts was probably the last time the church was unified. The rest of the New Testament in Paul is on about bringing them back into unity with Jesus. But they grow massively when they are united. Everyone grows. We see the result of that. We see that everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They watched God move amongst them, and God added to their number. They watched God move and they grew closer to his Spirit. And so they carried on being united and worshipped God. And as I said, most of Paul's writing that follows Acts is about pulling the different churches back into this unity with God. So my friends, that is so what? That is the so what of saying these words and meaning them and living them out. If you want to see God's kingdom come in this church, in this local church, then we need to be a church that lives out the words of Jesus from John's Gospel. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The question for you, the question for me is, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to love the Catholic Church, local and worldwide? Because frankly, Christians are really annoying. Obviously not you guys. You guys aren't annoying. You're just mildly irritable sometimes. Of course, you don't find me irritating, do you? No, not at all. The thing about it is, when we hear as a local church, even though we find it hard at times, when we walk together, because we've walked through some stuff together, we can just about cope with our differences. We can just about walk together in our differences. Sometimes it spills over. Let's be real about that. Sometimes it does spill over. But because you know I love you, even if I muck up at times, you can just about cope with my differences and I yours. The problem is, Jesus never said, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love those who agree with you. And frankly, some of those Methodists and some of those Baptists really disagree with me. And yet somehow I've got to love them. Even the Church of England church down the road. Think that I'm a right-wing, Bible-bashing, evangelical muppet. And yet, I've got to love them. You've got to love them. One of the other churches up the road, maybe, probably think that I've abandoned my solid foundations of Jesus and I'm now a wet, liberal, whatever, who doesn't really truly follow Jesus. And yet, in our differences, Jesus says, I have to love them. That's not easy, is it? But they are the Holy Catholic Church. Everyone will know that we are the Jesus' disciples by the way that we love them. But if I'm to love them, well, that's going to take a great move of God's Spirit in my heart. And I'm guessing I'm not alone. So today, as I reflect over that for my personal self, I'm going to encourage you to do the same. And you were given some sheets on the way in, I think, weren't you? So I've put together for the next 50 weekdays this little passage, this little reflection I'm calling Another Love. Because it's not just in John that we hear that we are to love one another. And one another in English is two words. And it comes out in Greek as allelon. I say that confidently because no one here is going to challenge me on it, are they? And it's just one word in Greek. And it's used 100 times in 94 New Testament verses. I dare you to count them. And most of those, or 47 of those, are given instructions to the church about how to be with one another. And so I've taken some of those verses out of the New Testament, and for the next 50 or so weekdays leading up to Christmas, I've offered you one a day to reflect on. The same one every Monday. It is, by this everyone will know. Same one every Monday, which was in the book of John, not the book of John, as I got on the screen. Do you know how many times I go through these slides and still don't spot those errors? Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, over the next 50 days, I want to ask you to offer just 5 minutes a day to the community, to the communion of the church, both here locally and worldwide. 5 minutes. 1 minute to be quiet. 1 minute to read a verse a few times. 1 minute to invite God's Holy Spirit to speak to you about that verse. And then another minute to be silent again. And then a minute to make a decision about what you might want to do about that. Because I really believe that actually this has been a fundamental time for us going through the creeds. And particularly last week with the Holy Spirit we spoke about. But also about this. How do we walk when we disagree with one another? Well, there's only one thing that we were told to do: love God and love people. So we've got to somehow hold our disagreements within this local church, but also within the nearer church around us and the national church and the wider church together and say, outside of the fundamentals, we can disagree and walk together.
Can't we agree to disagree?
Well, wouldn't that be lovely, Pat? Wouldn't be lovely? That's what I'm saying, really. Guys, there's some big stuff going on in the Church of England. You know that. And we will all have different ideas about it. And I'm not preaching about this today because of that. But that's a great example of where we, I believe, need to hold what we've got open-handed. I have studied that and other things greatly. And I think I trust Jesus. I trust Jesus. I trust him to be gracious to us. And where we disagree with others in what those things are, and I'm a pretty orthodox believer, you know that. But where I disagree with others, I've got to have the humility to hold that open-handed, haven't I? Hold it open-handed and just say, Jesus, I think this is what you would have me do, but help me share your love with those who disagree with me. And I don't think it's no good if just I do it. In some areas, we've got to agree to disagree and agree to love Jesus. And so that's what these 50 days are about, really. Because if everyone will know that we are his disciples by the way that we love the Holy Catholic Church, that's what we want for our church, isn't it? For our assembly. And together with what we said last week, I think if this happens, we will see God's kingdom come. And that's what I want.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.